7BR Part Heard.
Hello and welcome to 7BR's 12 Days of Christmas. I'm Eleanor Day, Chambers paralegal, and here on the Part Heard podcast, we've spent the last 6 months traversing the legal landscape, examining issues across multiple practice areas, guided by the diverse expertise of our members. Now, as we near the end of this most unusual of years, we're taking the opportunity for reflection. So each day for the next 12 days, a different member will discuss a 2020 case of theirs in a sort of legal advent calendar. Today, Connor Duffersey is here to talk about his involvement in an inquest that concerned the treatment of Susan Warby, a woman who died 5 weeks after bowel surgery. Connor has a broad civil law practice, advising and acting for both claimants and defendants on a broad range of clinical negligence, personal injury, product liability, and commercial matters. He's been instructed in complex multi-jurisdictional and group actions and is an accredited mediator.
Thank you, Ellie. I would like to talk today about the inquest touching upon the death of Susan Warby, with which I was involved in January and again in September this year. The case was interesting for a number of reasons. First, it received national press coverage. Second, the senior coroner for Suffolk found that a very standard procedure, the taking of blood samples, was being carried out very regularly in a defective manner. Third, the coroner ordered an adjournment at the end of the inquest hearing in order to obtain expert evidence. And finally, the coroner made a Regulation 28 report to the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, Matt Hancock, and to the Chief Executive of the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulation Agency, or the MHRA. The case was the subject of front-page headlines in the national press and an editorial in the Times. The main press interest was a backstory to the inquest. John Warby, Sue's husband, had received an anonymous letter tipping him off that one of the clinicians involved in Sue's care was alleged to have provided poor treatment in unusual circumstances to a different patient. The trust then began a heavy-handed whistleblower witch hunt, which even demanded fingerprints and handwriting samples from employees to determine the source of the letter. The steps taken were roundly criticised in the press and by the Doctors Association. In fact, though, the issues complained of in the letter were peripheral to the inquest and did not form any major part of the inquiry. Sue had died on the 30th of August 2018. She'd been admitted to the West Suffolk Hospital, coincidentally in Matt Hancock's constituency, after a collapse at home on the 26th of July. She'd had a diverticular perforation. She underwent emergency bowel surgery after admission. Before the operation, she was fitted with a drip that was supposed to contain a simple saline solution. In fact, she was given a dextrose solution, which contained sugar. The incorrect solution stayed in place for 36 hours on her drip, despite numerous opportunities for discovery at various stages by different staff. Sue remained very ill throughout her time in hospital before she died. This error was compounded because of erroneous blood sugar readings. As a result of those readings, Sue was given insulin, which she did not need. The erroneous readings were a direct consequence of the dextrose solution and inadequate technique practiced by the nurses taking the blood samples. The blood samples were very erratic, but mostly recording very high blood sugar or hyperglycemia. But the lab results showed very low blood sugar. Bizarrely, the treating doctor thought that there must be a fault in the lab. It transpired, however, that the nurses were taking blood samples without allowing for what is called sufficient dead space. The dead space ensures that a certain amount of the blood is discarded before the sample is taken. This would normally ensure that nothing from the drip would contaminate the sample. In fact, the blood sugar readings were all caused by the dextrose solution. Sue was given insulin when her blood sugar was low. The insulin was making it even lower, while the samples taken were indicating that it was too high. Sue was hypoglycemic when her clinicians thought she was hyperglycemic. The inquest hearing took place at first in person in January 2020, before the COVID restrictions were put in place, and finished remotely by video in September 2020. The inquest was adjourned in January at the family's request. The trust had carried out its own investigation into Sue's death and had concluded that it was unclear if the inappropriate treatment for hyperglycemia, namely the administration of insulin which caused the hypoglycemia, had contributed to Sue's death. Despite that, the trust presented two witnesses at the inquest who stated that the erroneous treatment had not contributed to Sue's death. There was no other evidence regarding causation before the inquest, and the family made submissions for an adjournment to appoint an expert to comment on causation. The coroner agreed. The inquest resumed 8 months later, but the expert had reached no firm conclusion on causation in his report. However, after questioning, he accepted that Sue's physiological reserves would have been impacted by the length of time that her blood sugar levels were dangerously reduced by the insulin. The coroner, Mr. Nigel Parsons, gave a narrative conclusion. He recorded that Sue died as the result of the progression of a naturally occurring illness, contributed to by unnecessary insulin treatment caused by erroneous blood test results. This, in combination with her other comorbidities, reduced her physiological reserves. But Mr. Parsons had some concerns about both the labelling of the dextrose solution and the taking of blood supplies at the trust. His Regulation 28 report noted that it was clear that packaging and visual identification aids for bottles of intravenous fluids were not sufficiently distinctive at the time. After Sue's death, the trust had asked its suppliers to change the labelling. The new labels were exhibited in court, and even with those changes, in Mr. Parsons' opinion, the packaging was not at all distinctive enough. Mr. Parsons also noted that in 2008, the UK National Patient Safety Agency had issued a rapid response report highlighting problems with infusions and sampling from arterial lines. The court was told that training in the taking of blood samples was given as part of standard training. Since Sue's death, the trust had given fresh training, but Mr. Parsons believed, considering the sheer number of incorrect samples by different staff over a short period of time, that a review of training and operational regimes might be necessary on a wider, perhaps national, basis. As far as I'm aware, no response from either the MHRA or the Department of Health has been published to date.
Thank you for listening to 7BR's 12 Days of Christmas. For more information and to listen to all our previous episodes, please visit our website.